First, thank you, Andy and Carol and the musicians for leading us in song and prayer. And Andy, thank you so much for telling the story of Orb again. It was just a great encouragement to hear that and to be reminded of where God has moved us in the past and where he's taking us now and where he'll lead us into the future. So, good morning. My name is Jared. I get to preach once in a while, and I get to lead us this morning. So, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. It's good to be together today. It's a joy to be a part of this community. And having a week where we were unable to gather to worship reminded me of that joy. And I'm thankful for that reminder. I hope that many of you were able to visit other local congregations and worship with them last Sunday. I know that many of you did just that and were grateful to worship with others, but were also just a bit sad that we weren't able to get together. That's exactly how I felt. I was able to worship in Avon at my parents' church, the church I grew up in, and I'm very thankful for that community as well and their faithfulness in teaching me about the love of God as a child. So I was really good to be with them. But I was just flat out bummed that we couldn't meet. Did other people feel that? You're not alone. This morning we will look at the scriptures at a small piece of a letter that a man named Paul wrote to one of the earliest churches. The church was in Rome, the center of the empire. The Christians in Rome had a tough go of things. Before this letter was written, Jews had already been expelled from the city. By the time the letter was written, many had been allowed to return, but in the near future, both Jews and Christians would come under heavy persecution. They lived in a world where their beliefs and goals conflicted with the world around them. In the Roman Empire, Caesar was Lord and Savior of the people. He was a son of the gods. He brought about the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. He determined what justice was and was not. But for most in the Roman Empire, this was a false peace and a false justice. It was peace and justice for some, but bondage and struggle for most. Life was often chaotic and uncertain for the Christian community in Rome. Just as the Christian community today faces uncertainty, we obviously had a busy, confusing week. And in this section of the letter, Paul calls the Christian community, both those Christians in Rome and us today, to know a few things. First, he calls the community to know the truth about itself. What is true about the community gathered this morning? We'll look at that today. Second, he tells the Christian community what she can expect in this world. Then Paul tells the community what she has been given. Our prayer this morning is that Paul's letter to the Romans would also be a word from God to us. I pray that we might know what is true about our community, what we can expect, and what we've been given. Okay, let's look at the slide up there. And I can't turn around, so I'll read it from the Bible. Look at verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. Paul writes these words in the shadow of the Roman Empire. He knows the world he's writing in, and he understands the situation of the Christian community. In the earlier chapters of this letter, he has made clear to the church how broken things are in this world. Everyone commits evil. There is no one who does good. The one people trust as Lord isn't the true king. What people call peace isn't really peace, and what passes for justice isn't really justice. It is lies. But Paul then tells the Christian community what is true. Paul calls them to trust in a different Lord and Savior. Paul says, Christians in Rome, you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in a different justice, and you have a different peace. Outreach Red Bank serves a different Lord who gives us a different peace and a different justice than is experienced by the watching world. We are a people who have been justified, who have experienced justice by faith, and who have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is so much in that statement, and a lot in two small verses up there, but allow me to elaborate. Faith is putting your trust in someone or something, and to justify is to set things right. We cannot make things right by ourselves. Instead, we trust or we have faith that someone else can. Every society, every community, and the individuals that make up communities must place their faith in some entity to provide a measure of peace and justice. In Rome, people put their faith in the Roman Empire, its government, its Caesar, its vast military might. They trusted the empire to make things good and right. They had to place their faith, or for their own safety, at least pretend to place their faith in this empire. Our world puts its faith and trust in similar things, such as rulers, presidents, political leaders, monetary institutions, and military power. It does so hoping for some type of peace and justice. But the Christian community believes something very different. Our community puts its trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace and justice that he gives. We trust in what Jesus has done, and we place no faith in all the other institutions around us that claim to have authority. And remember what he has done. That's what these verses call to mind. While we were still weak, while we were a mess, Jesus Christ emptied himself and became a man. God stepped out of the heavens to take on the form of a slave. He came to earth and was born to a young girl named Mary who was living in the boondocks of this very same Roman Empire. He came to be God with us and to bring us lasting peace and a lasting justice. That is what was proclaimed by the heralds at his birth. He is the Lord that comes to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. Now listen, this is how Jesus brought peace and justice. Jesus chose to give his life as a ransom for all of us. For sinners, for the broken, for the downcast who can't make this world right, he died for us. He died for a sinful, broken people who couldn't make it through life on their own. In his death, he took on our sin and put it upon himself. In his death, he paid the penalty for our sin. He then conquered death and experienced what the scriptures call resurrection. The Christian faith confesses that this is true. This is our truth. This is how the justice of God works. He takes the penalty on himself, and we receive his mercy and kindness towards us. God's justice involves punishment for himself and mercy for us. Isn't that a much different justice than what we see in this world? We are given peace with God. This is the foundation of our community today. Jesus Christ and his peace and justice for us is the truth that establishes and sustains our community. It is why we take communion every week and why we'll take it today. We gather so that we might never, ever forget this truth. We exist entirely because of what Jesus Christ has done. He and his work is our foundation. Today, you can trust him when you can't trust anything else. You might not have peace at work right now, or there might be turmoil in your family. There may be situations in life right now that feel to you to be very unfair or wholly unjust. You might fear what will happen tomorrow, but Jesus Christ is still Lord. You have received the justice of God, and you have peace with God. Our future, every one of us, our community here today, our future is secure because the peace and justice of God has broken into this world, and it will one day fill the whole earth. And look at those next few words up there. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. This truth is so good that it's something worth boasting about. If what Christ has done is true, then we will one day share in the glory of God. That is good, good news. What our community has is so good that we cannot help but boast about it. Now, boast has a negative connotation in our world. Keep in mind, it isn't boasting about ourselves, but boasting in the great news about what Jesus has done. It's this confidence that must overflow to others. Celebrate is probably a better understanding of the word. When you celebrate people here, right? When you have a big house party, you upset the neighbors. Is that? Has anyone experienced that in their life? I know who has and I know who hasn't. That's what a good celebration does. It wakes the neighbors. You can't help but tell others. This need to celebrate is how Orb got started. A bunch of you sat in a living room. You guys, right? Mr. Lutzma's house. A bunch of you guys sat in the living room and said, look how good God is. Look at these things that are true. Look at this guy Jesus and what he has done. We have peace. We have grace to stand in instead of wallowing around in our sin and pity. We have to tell people about it. And that is what you did. And many of us are here today because of your celebration. The celebration caught others as you met young people in the parks and around town. It spilled to others as you shared this joy and celebration and news with your neighbors, the good news of the truth about Jesus. You've been doing that. Keep doing it. Keep celebrating. Keep boasting. This is good news. Jesus is our Lord, but he's also Lord of the whole world. His peace and justice extends to the farthest heights and the lowest depths. The least we can be doing is telling the people in Red Bank about it. This is true for everyone in Red Bank who doesn't know that it's yet true. We will boast about it. We will celebrate it. The world needs to know the goodness and glory of God. They need to share in it as well. So we will keep telling them the truth. So, as we share the good news, what should we expect? Let's keep reading. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I want to focus on the main word up there, which Matt has highlighted for me. Thank you, Matt. The Christian community will experience sufferings. There will be struggles, conflict, and trials. The New Testament makes this clear in the Gospels and the letters, and the Old Testament makes it abundantly clear as well. Suffering will be a part of the community's life in this world, and it makes perfect sense. We serve a different Lord who has a different peace and justice that will lead to conflict. Conflict and suffering is what the Roman church encountered constantly. They attempted to be at peace with all men. And Christians in Rome were no doubt great neighbors and loving people. But conflict was inevitable. To claim the good news that Jesus is Lord is also to claim the news that Caesar is not Lord. And that world wouldn't accept that. That gets you into trouble. In Rome and in the surrounding empire, there was the emperor cult. The citizens of the empire were to offer up incense and make a sacrifice to Caesar as Lord. They were to worship him. Did everyone think Caesar was God? No, but this is what you were supposed to do. Christians couldn't do it. They believed Jesus was Lord and God, so they couldn't worship Caesar. It caused a lot of trouble. Christians suffered because of this. Over time, they became scapegoats and were blamed for a lot of the problems in society. They suffered, and over the years, many of them were killed for refusing to worship a God other than Jesus. They constantly ended up having conflict with their society, and they suffered for it. So, what should we expect? We haven't faced anything quite like the Roman Christians. Some of them were killed for refusing to worship anyone besides Jesus. We couldn't find a place to have worship last week. They're kind of different levels there. they're two distinctly different levels of problems. I don't want to overstate our situation. We are not facing severe persecution. We are facing some struggles with figuring out where to have our weekly gatherings. I also don't want to understate our situation. It's a bit jarring to find out on Saturday that our community won't be able to worship together on Sunday. You've been going to the same place for a few years, and without warning, bam, there is nowhere to go this week. That's a bit of a shock. That's where we are right now. We've hit a glitch with Sunday worship gathering, and that is an important problem. It's important for us to gather together, and we might be anxious and frustrated that we all of a sudden might not have a place to meet. That is a fair reaction. We should be frustrated because of what we do each Sunday. Sunday morning is a time for us to gather and celebrate God together as a community. That's important, and we don't want to miss that. Sunday is a time for us to disciple the children in our community. It's a time to teach them about the love of Jesus. That's the primary time that we get to do this each Sunday. Right now, Holly, Kathleen, and dozens of other volunteers commit to showing our children the love of God. We don't ever want to miss that opportunity, even for a week. And when something like this happens, we should be frustrated because of the good thing that happens when we gather together Sunday mornings. Now, we should expect to have these struggles. We've always had them. There's nothing new here. Andy took us through the history. This isn't our second move. It's not our last move either. Oh, I think you all know that by now. We've always faced the issue of trying to live as a faithful Christian community in Red Bank and at times running into conflict or hiccups on the journey. Moving from space to space is not new to us. When I first became a part of this community, I volunteered with the high school ministry. The first year I served was awesome. When I started, we had nowhere to meet. We had 8 leaders, and we met in a 1-bedroom apartment in the Atlantic Highlands. Michelle's house. Remember that? You remember that house, Michelle? Okay. Apartment, there you go. We said, okay, what high school kids do we know to invite to this group? And we thought of maybe 5 high school students. We didn't have a lot going on then. A man in our community named Lee decided to let us meet in his basement. That year, God filled Lee's basement with high school students. Now, it's exciting to have a lot of people show up, but what was really exciting was that we were celebrating God with young people. We were boasting about Jesus and the peace he gives. Students were intrigued, and some of them became believers and began to trust in Jesus as well. Some of you were there during that time. Some of the leaders in our community now, we first met in that basement. That's awesome. And as more people came, there were more cars on the street. And a lot of cars on the street every Thursday was not a big deal for us. The bigger goal was that students would learn about God. The neighbors on the street had different goals. They wanted to be able to park closer to their house. They didn't want to see high school students recklessly driving around their roads all the time. They didn't want to see the scary faces of some of our students skipping across the lawn. They wanted their neighborhood to be more calm and peaceful. What we called peace was not peace to them. What we called calm will never be calm to them. We were upsetting the peace. We had different goals. We came in conflict and were asked to leave. It makes sense. I don't tell you that to say, oh, how dare they? Don't they realize how important it is what we do? I tell it simply to show you that that is going to happen. We will celebrate Jesus in front of the world. There will be conflict. Some might jump for joy at the good news. Some might be annoyed and not want us around. That is okay too. Our goal is not to celebrate Jesus and get excited when people join in the celebration, but then be angry at people who don't like what we are doing. No, we will love everyone. Jesus loved us when we were his enemies. We're going to love this town whether they ever want to love us back or not. We have a responsibility to love and care for our neighbors regardless of their response to us because of the way Jesus Christ made himself our neighbor and loved us. When conflict arises, we will be a people that trust God to provide the next place for us to go, because that's what he's done. He continues to provide. From Lee's basement, we were blessed to use Trinity Episcopal Church for a time, then a daycare center, then one glorious week at the Hamilton Building, then a movie theater and an office complex. And it at times feels like a struggle, but we trust in the Lord of heaven and earth. Now look at the rest of those 2 verses there. We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance, character, and character leads to hope, and a hope that does not disappoint. Suffering gets you to endurance, to character, and more hope. We already had hope in verse 2. I'm not sure I want more hope if it's going to cause a lot of suffering. It doesn't sound all that fun. And if I'm honest, I read that and I sometimes think that Paul's crazy. Boast about sufferings. That's not normal. But Paul isn't normal either. A lot of us know a Paul in our community who's not normal, so this shouldn't be a big skip for us. Paul is not normal either. Paul believes there's a distinct reason for the struggles and the trials that we go through. They are meant to grow us into a community with a stronger hope. We need to grow in hope. The Christian community is meant to know a hope so great that it does not disappoint. We have been sojourners between midweek ministries and our Sunday gathering. We've ended up in a lot of different locations over the last 10 years. That can be unsettling at first, but it is always an opportunity for us to grow in trust in Jesus Christ. Times like this help us to grow into a people with more endurance, a people with more character, and ultimately a people with a greater and greater hope. These times lead us to a hope that does not disappoint, and even more boasting and celebration in the goodness of Jesus Christ. That's what happened in the past. That is what is happening now, and it is certainly what we can expect in the future. We will continue to have struggles, and we will continue to trust God, and He will continue to build in our community a better hope. So what has God given us? Look at that last verse. It's so good. God has given this community a gift. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. We don't know where the Roman church met. They certainly didn't have a church building. They probably met in homes of members of their community, just like we've done. If the group was larger, they probably tried to rent public space in town, just like we've tried. If Paul doesn't spend any time on their space needs, he wanted them to see what they really possessed. What they had was simply this. They had the Holy Spirit pouring, not trickling or occasionally giving them a sip, but pouring the love of God into their hearts. The Holy Spirit has been given as a gift to the Christian community. That is what we have, and that is what we've always had. In every space that we've used, the Holy Spirit has been present and has poured God's love into our hearts. We have done our best to let that love keep pouring until it filled us and spilled into the hearts of others. In the children's garden, the Holy Spirit was there pouring God's love. In Lee's basement, the Spirit of God filled that space. In the Episcopal Church, the Spirit of God filled the basement, the fellowship hall, and our Orbitz classrooms. For one glorious week, God's Spirit filled the Hamilton building. And at the movie theater in West Bergen, God's Spirit has been pouring out His love. God has allowed us to use all of these spaces for a time, and countless others. His Spirit has been with us in retreat centers and in the homes of so many people in this room right now. We have been blessed. God's Spirit has been working among us. We have used all of those spaces, but we never had them. They did not belong to us. We used them well, and then God moved us to a different space to use well. The only thing we had in every single one of those spaces was the Holy Spirit. That's what we had yesterday. That's exactly what we have today in this middle school, and I'm thankful for that. Today we have a place to gather and rejoice in the goodness and saving work of God. That is all we will have in the future. Tomorrow we will find ourselves put in all sorts of places that we can't right now possibly even fathom. And God will take the space that we have in the future and His Spirit will fill those spaces with the love of God. The Holy Spirit moves where it wants to move, and though it is given to us, we do not control it. It will continue to move, and we will continue to be thankful that He is with us, and we will follow that Holy Spirit. I would like us to be crystal clear about this. We will never have more than what the Holy Spirit chooses to give us, and we will never have less, and it will always be what we need. The Spirit that hovered over the waters at the dawn of creation is sufficient for us. The Spirit that hovered over the waters is our Spirit. The Spirit that led God's people through the wilderness into the promised land in a cloud by day and a fire by night is sufficient for us. The Spirit that was at work in raising our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is sufficient for us. God's Spirit is sufficient for us. That Spirit has given us the truth of what Jesus Christ has done for us and this whole world. We know that we must celebrate this love with the world around us. We know that there will be struggles in trying to share and celebrate the good news of Jesus. And we know that we've been given God's Holy Spirit, which continues to pour and pour and pour the love of God into our hearts and into the hearts of those around us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the joy it is to be here. Thank you for the songs that we can sing. Thank you for the people that you've brought into this room and that your Holy Spirit is at work in us. God, we thank you for the truth of who you are and what you've done for this community. We thank you that you called us into existence and that you've provided for us each step of the way. God, help us grow in hope. God, when we have struggles and conflicts, let us trust you. And let that lead to more glorious boasting in your goodness. God, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that we can know that we're not alone trying to figure things out. But you are the one who guides us. You are leading us each step of the way. And you love us. You love us and you grow us. And you've given us your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.